I want to read from chapter 12, 2 Corinthians. If you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read with me. I want to say that I appreciate you very much, very much. You come with a regularity to hear the gospel, and you've heard it many times, but you still come back to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and to help me. And I've got some here that really genuinely loves the Lord, that's really trying to live right, trying to get into the kingdom of God and trying to do something for the Lord Jesus. Glad to see my Gracie here tonight. Now, I want to read a little bit here and share what I can with you. This is our way of doing things every night that we come together. Fast a little bit, pray a little bit, study a little bit, invite somebody to the camp meeting. Sister Betty invited somebody today, a stranger. Gave him a tract, invited him quite a ways from here. And he said, you know, I might just come over. And you never can tell. The highways and the hedges compel him to come in. Chapter 12, let's read from the first verse, can we? It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. Now, you heard me read that, so you know there's a third heaven. Sometimes they talk about the first heaven, the second heaven, the third heaven, and here this man talks about being caught up to the third heaven, so you know that there is a third heaven. All right. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise. Now you know there's a paradise. And heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Now we know there's a third heaven, we know there's a paradise. And we know now that what paradise is the third heaven. Is that right? Let's give the Lord a hand. When we put it all together, we try to understand, then we know. Because if he says he's caught up into the third heaven, and all of a sudden now he says caught up into paradise, then we know that it's one and the same, that the third heaven is paradise. Now we have to differentiate, but how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Not just utter as out of season, but was not lawful for him to utter, period. Things that he could not utter. Sometimes someone would say to you, and I do myself as a minister, I say there's some things that I don't say to you. God will share certain things, and those things you're not to utter. Now, someone would say, well, I thought we had an unction that we should know all things. That's right. Paul apparently did know all things here, things that he couldn't even utter. But it doesn't mean that everybody is going to get this unless they submit, even as Paul did, unless they go the same route. If they go the same route of life, then God will give them the same things. But if they expect to, as I said earlier, do nothing while a little group takes the load and not to live right and feel that they're special and God's going to consider them, then they're not going to get anything. It's of your labor that you receive a reward. If you pray, that's labor. If you fast, that's labor. That is, if you're doing it unto God, the Bible says, do all things as unto the Lord. If you sacrifice and give, that is labor. If you come out here and work with these men, as it was with Noah building the ark, that's labor. Building a building for a press, put out a pamphlet that will win a soul, publish the gospel in all the world, that's labor. Whatever it is, it's labor. And when you do that, then you are rewarded according to your labor. When you do labor, then you may get a revelation. You may get a healing. You may get a blessing. You may get a greater understanding. You may have some natural benefit that God will give you as an automobile, a home, or whatever, while others don't get it. A lot of people say, well, I just don't understand. You know, this person over here is so great and they get so little. That's where you're wrong. That person's not so great. That person may have you fooled. But the scriptures cannot be broken. When God said, I'll restore it fourfold, he meant it. And when he said, godliness is profitable for this world and the world to come, he meant it. And the Bible said that the man that confesseth his sins and forsaketh his sins, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God meant it. There's no mistaking about it. And when you don't prosper, it's because you have not confessed your sins and forsook your sin. If yours, the old saying goes, from hand to mouth and can't get things to come together to beat your bills and the different things, it's because you have not confessed your sins and forsaken them. Somebody would say, well, I cry before God all the time, Brother Pike, and I confess my sin. But that wasn't what he said. He said, confess the sin and forsake the sin. And then the Bible says that man shall prosper. Whatever he does will prosper. It don't matter what he does. Whether he's a carpenter, whether he's a painter, whether he's a preacher, whatever, he'll prosper. See, and when you confess your sins and you do the will of God, the Bible said to hear the word of God, as to the ministry of the prophets of God, that man shall prosper. And the Bible said, he that delighteth himself in the laws of the Lord, that man will have the desire of his heart. So then he goes on to say here, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. Paul said, I'm tempted just like you are, but I'm not going to yield to it. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given unto me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul said, I besought the Lord thrice to take away this thorn of the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. See, a lot of times there are things that come to us, it's a bridle. God has put a bridle on us, and this bridle is for our benefit and the benefit of the kingdom of God. And so he puts a bridle on us that we should be controlled by this bridle to be more profitable to God. And Paul said, while you abound, I am abased. While you have good things to eat and go everywhere, I am terrified of these sources and cast into prison and stoned and beat. And all of these things come upon me daily, as well as the care of the churches to an overseer. In that he said, God is doing this to magnify Christ in my life and to show the sufferings of Christ, that you may take courage to know that if I endure these things by the strength of God, that your problems are but small, and that you should be able to overcome very easily. That if God's grace is sufficient for me, most assuredly, they'd be for you. As it was with Moses, Moses said, I want to go into Canaan. God said, Moses, I'll let you see it. I don't want to hear no more about it. That's it. He said to Paul, Paul said, thrice I sought him. And he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. That is, I don't want to hear any more about it. And I'm going to say this again, folks. This was not a sickness. And these intellectual people that come out of college with their degrees, they come out and they say that this was a trouble that Paul had with his eyes. That is not true. That is their own intellectual way of trying to explain it, because they have no answer to the people, because they don't understand. I tell you again, as I told you in the past, that you might be in remembrance of this. And Peter said, though you know these things, I feel to stir up your mind again toward them. This was a messenger of the devil. It was a fallen angel. It was an evil spirit. It was someone to buffet Paul. And this was a devil that went behind Paul, as it was when the woman that had the familiar spirit kept going behind Paul, saying, these are the messengers of the Most High God. These are the messengers of the Most High God. And for many days, the Bible said, she did this till Paul was grieved. And Paul then turned and rebuked the devil and said, come out of her. And when the devil came out of her, the Bible said, the gain for her masters was lost, because she was a soothsayer. That is, she was saying things telling things as a familiar spirit, like a fortune teller, and they got money out of it. But this spirit recognized Paul, like it was when the sons of Sceva went over there, they were going to cast out the devil. And the spirit spoke back and said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? And the men of the man in whom the devils were in overcame them and tore their clothes off, and they fled naked away. So then it was a devil that followed Paul. And the reason for it is because it had to abase Paul. It had to keep Paul abased in the eyes of the people. Because he was such a great speaker, he was so powerful, he had seen such great things in Revelation, that he would have been exalted above measure. Not necessarily as him being exalted in his feelings, which he could have done that. Satan probing at his flesh. But the people would have lifted him up. But on one occasion they took Paul and they said, the gods has come down to us. And outside of the gate they were fixing to do sacrifice unto Paul, taking him as a god. And Paul rent his clothes and said, I'm but a man as you are. Don't do that, brethren. And scarcely restrained them from doing sacrifice unto him as a god, because he was so mighty and so great. And the Lord let him be cast into prison. Let him be abased in the eyes of the people. And let what he called the basest sort always say things. That's one of the reasons that Bethlehem has been done the way it has been done. Nobody's bothered those people out there. Even the sheriff, I tell you again, is on one occasion I said something to him about my people. He said, I hear all things about your people. He said, but I've never found them guilty of one of them. See, but nevertheless, all the dirt, all the mud, all the scum, everything is thrown at Bethlehem and thrown at the people, and especially at the minister, to abase him and to say all kinds of things, to degrade me in the eyes of the people, the low downest things that could be imaginable is said about me. But you know, it's okay. The Bible said when they say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, to be exceedingly glad and leap for joy, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they, the ministers or prophets before you. So, this is why that you go through what you do. Suffering shame for his name, the Bible said they were glad to do it in the early church. You should be ashamed that you are ashamed to suffer shame for his name. So then, for those that are doing it for the sake of the Lord Jesus, you're encountering the same thing that Paul did. See, the messenger of Satan to always stir up strife and problems wherever Paul went. And he said to Paul, my grace is sufficient. A bridle, Paul. Paul said, because of this, I will glory in my infirmities. All of these problems that I have. Problems, you say infirmities. Sure, when somebody beats you with stones, you're going to have some bruises. You're going to have some cuts. They left him for dead. When you're beaten 4 or 5 times till they plow your back like a field, you're going to have a few problems and some infirmities. And on and on and on as to what Paul was exposed to. Most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities. Why will you do this? He said, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Knowing this, that I do not refuse these sufferings, I know then that the power of God is resting upon me. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, that's my problem. I'm sick, and I have problems. So I know it must be great, and I know the power of God is resting upon me. I'm telling you again, the Bible said if you'll do the work of God and do the things you should, share with the orphans and the widows, that your health will return to you speedily, and your light will go before you. What you're suffering from is just plain old problems that the devil has caused you, not because you are following Christ, but because you're playing around with iniquity. See, and then there are those that are bridled, not with sicknesses, but in that they expose their body to certain things continually, where the Bible uses the terms a certain man was nigh to death because he did not try to keep his body back from the things that God said as to the sacrifices, and said he was nigh unto death because of this exposure to these things for the sake of Christ. There, you have to differentiate between godly riches and satanic riches, and differentiate between the infirmities that is of God as to that which you've submitted yourself to for the sake of Christ, to spread the gospel, differentiate between that and the infirmities of the devils that is brought upon you, like casting out the infirm spirit. And Jesus went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That is to say, many sicknesses are of the devil. All sicknesses of the devil. But many things, as I say, is unprofitable altogether. It's not helping you. It's not exalting you. It does nothing for the kingdom of God. It hinders you as to making a living for your family. Hinders you as to having joy and peace to praise God. It hinders you when you pray. It hinders you in everything you do. That's of the devil. This thing that Paul had did not hinder him, but rather magnified God in his life and the kingdom of God to a great extent. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Now listen to it. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul said, then therefore I glory. I glory in my infirmities. I glory in the reproaches. I glory in these things. He said, because I find out that when I am weak, so far as the flesh and being reproached, and people are saying hideous, horrible things about me, God's got his eyes on me. Great is my reward in heaven. For woe unto that man, unto that woman, we will say, that everybody speaks well of. They did that to the false prophets. They do that to the hypocrites. The Bible said, if you have the world will love you. They'll say all kind of flattering things to you. That's one thing about Bethlehem. A lot of people won't stay at Bethlehem. They won't come to Bethlehem. They won't remain a person as to the membership, as we say, of Bethlehem. They're not going to stay here because I preach against sin and I preach against ungodliness and I preach against their tongue of backbiting, the misdemeanors of life that they give themselves to. I preach against that. And they don't like that. And the devil just got a hold of them, don't like that. And they rise up against me. And I still preach against it. And they don't like that. So off they go to another church or another place or to do another thing. And if they can't leech and have their way, and everybody let them have their way, they're not going to be with us. See, they're not going to be with us. They're going to go out and blast us and say things against us. But if there's one thing about it, doesn't matter what they say, we're still going to preach the gospel. We're still going to live for God, and they can let their tongue be cut loose, and somebody said it both ends and tied in the middle. We're still going to preach the gospel, still going to live holy and godly, and if we don't have but one left, we'll preach to that one, and if we don't have that one, we'll close the door and go evangelize. Let's give the Lord a hand. Because somewhere in the world, God's got people that want to hear the gospel, and they want to know the truth and have this glad tidings that makes them free from sin and from death. And folks, let me tell you, when you follow God, when you follow the right thing, when you love one another, and when you work together for the kingdom of God, you're going to be rewarded with health and happiness and finance, and God's going to give you the blessings of your life and the desires of your heart. But let me tell you this, if you happen to get the blessings of life and the desires of your heart as to the things you want and you're not serving God, then remember that you're doing it through the act of iniquity, and you are engineering something, and you're manipulating, and you're cheating, and you're robbing, and you're swindling, and not only robbing people, but the Bible says robbing God. Will a man rob God? Robbing God. So then when you get that kind of prosperity, the Bible said you'll be cut off in the midst of your days, and in the end you'll be a fool. Whereas the Bible said, the blessing of the Lord is to make it rich, addeth no sorrow. If I serve God, he'll make me rich, but he won't add any sorrow with it. But if you get it any other way, somewhere down the trail, you're going to find sorrow like you never dreamed of. So then, let's serve the Lord. Let's have the riches that comes from God. Let's lay up treasures in heaven, not only to have the riches here, as to God meeting all of our needs here, giving us all things that pertain unto life here, but giving us that eternal life on the other side and the wonderful things that comes with what we call paradise or the third heaven. You can be sure that we're going up to the third heaven, no doubt about it. There's the first heaven, second heaven, third heaven. And God will let us come short of nothing as of the third heaven. That's our eternal abode, the paradise. The Bible said the rich man died and was buried and lifted up his eyes in hell. And the Bible said that Lazarus died and was buried, and the rich man saw him afar off in paradise, over in the bosom of Abraham. So then we know that there is a hell, we know that there is a heaven, and we know that that means that there is another world that we are not acquainted with unless we become children of God and we're exposed to that thing through the eyes of understanding, and that the Bible said we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things, and these things are given to us by revelation, and the world doesn't know them. There's no need of you going out saying, well, we belong to this church, or they belong to that church, and they know the same things that we know, and the world knows the same things that we know, because you don't and they don't. Did you know you don't know the same things that the world knows? To the extent that there are professors, there are scientists, there are great and mighty men that can talk over your head, you wouldn't even know what their vocabulary expression was, let alone what they were telling you. See, because they're so advanced, and they use terms that you can't even understand. Sometimes going to a doctor to get a prescription, you can't even understand the prescription that he wrote out. So, we have something. The Bible said that's between you and between God. And even the angels desire to look into this thing. And they can't look into it. They don't understand this wonderful communication between you and God. The song of the redeemed. They can't even sing that. So then, I'm saying that we do see and we do know and we do understand things that they do not understand. And that many hundreds and millions of people that are religious do not understand. I know they'll come around to you, and they'll say, I know it, I got it, bless God, no more than I am. Bless God, you know they say this so often to me, these things, but they don't have it. And like a man that called me yesterday, I believe it was, that he let the brethren know that he had it, and he was going to get it just like Brother Pike got it, and all these kind of things. But when the wrath of God went out against him, he called Brother Pike, and he pleaded for prayer. And that for his loved ones. And he says, and I know now, Brother Pike, that I was vainly puffed up and that I did not know the mysteries of God and did not understand. And will you pray for me? Because when I talked to him, he realized that he didn't even have the infilling of the Spirit. And pray that God will fill me with the Spirit. So then somebody said, well, go get it just like Brother Pike got it, or go get it just like Brother Taylor got it, or whoever. No, you can't do that. Somebody said, oh, yes, I can. Oh, no, you can't. I ain't no need of making a joke out of God. You can't do that. Somebody said, I can get it just exactly like you got it. Not a chance. In the first place, like this individual, he couldn't go get it like Paul had it because he'd lived such a wretched life after he'd come to the truth. And he'd done laid up so many things against him, even if he straightened his life out, he'd have nothing but problems. And a good possibility that he can't even get into the kingdom because of what he's done. In that you come to know the truth and turn away, and there's a fearful looking forward to of the fire indignation of God. Some of you people, some ministers, some people, some laity, some that may be of great standing in the church as to a man appointment, can't ever get it that way. You'll never get it that way. So then you be sure that if God does give it to somebody like Paul the Apostle, that he's given it to him for a purpose. He processed him for a purpose. He did this and then give it to him. And you be sure that you go to him to get it and thank God that you got the opportunity to get it. One thing for sure, you're not going to get any water that belongs to a certain stream unless you go by the way of the well. And that's what I said about the system tonight. If you want the benefit, go through the system. See, and if this man over here is selling bananas and this man over here is selling apples, you're not going to go over to the banana place and get apples because he don't sell apples. You're going to go over to the apple place. And you're not going to get bananas over at the apple place because he don't sell bananas. So then that means that you're going to have to go by the way of the street called straight, as I said this morning. The way of the street called straight, like Paul did, that's the way he got it. And this Bible is written, Paul said, that you might understand my knowledge and the mystery of God. When you read, and I being the overseer of the Gentile church, not Peter, not James, not Brother Pike, not Brother Taylor, not Brother Branham, not Brother Roberts, not any other brother. He said, and I magnify my office since it is me. Not two, not three, not five, no record of another, just one. And as the gospel was committed unto Peter too, and this is after Calvary, committed unto Peter, for the Jews, it has been committed unto me for the Gentiles. All right, so then we see that it did not say there was two overseers, nor two Pauls, nor two of them that he gave the revelation thereto. And then when we come down to John as to the revelation of Jesus Christ after the decease of Paul, and John was still on the scene, we do not find two. We do not find three. We only find one, John the Revelator. If you can dispute that, dispute it. It's open to you. The service is open to you here. Service, my sermons are open to you around the world, wherever you hear them. Dispute it. There is no dispute to it. What we say is absolutely the fact. It's the word of the Lord. So then that means that when you get it, if you get it, you're going to go to Paul and get it. Somebody says, oh, bless God, I'll get it in my day. Just like Paul got it in his day. You'll never get it in your day. Just like Paul got it in his day, because this is the overseer, and you go through the overseer to get what you want. Not two overseers, one overseer. He had the oversight over the church entirely as to the Gentile church, and not only that, but the gospel to the Gentile church, and no other man had it to the church. No other man. It was Paul alone. And the gospel being given to Peter for the Jews, so was it given to Paul for the Gentile church. So then we see that when God opens up something, it doesn't matter if it's after Calvary, before Calvary, it's going to be that way. There wasn't two Elijahs. I've said this before. I've heard people mock and they say, Brother Pike, Elijah thought he was the only prophet. You ever had anybody say that? I've had them to come and tell me that. Say, bless God, God had 7,000. And I've told you over and over, there ain't no such teachings in the Bible anywhere where God had 7,000. He only had one, that was Elijah. And I challenged anybody in the whole world to come to me and prove that he had more than one, just one, that was Elijah. At that time, that was all that was on the scene. The Bible said he had 7,000 people who had never bowed their knees to Baal. That is to say, the God of the flesh. And even so, at the present time, Paul said that we're living in, and I can say the same. For our day, that there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if it be of grace, it's not of works, but of him that calleth, so that we can give the glory to God, as the song says. So then he had one Elijah. That's all he had, just one Elijah. Prove it to be wrong. When Elijah went off the scene, he had one Elisha. That's all. Just one. When Abraham was here, he had one Abraham. When Moses was here, he had one Moses. All down through the Bible, from beginning to end, that's all he ever had. Whether it was the Old Testament or the New Testament. So then when Jesus was born, he had one Jesus. He was born in a manger in one place called Israel. Not in every place of the world. One place that he was born. And if you see the tomb that he resurrected from, you'll go to that one place. If you see where Golgotha was, as to where he was crucified, you'll go to that one place. And folks, that's the way it is with God. There is but one. That's all. Just one. When God makes a move, that's all there is. There's not two revelations, three revelations, a half a dozen revelations. As to call the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Jesus. And the Bible said he sent his angel and signified it unto his servant John. One revelation of Jesus Christ that he gave not to Paul nor Peter or anybody else, but to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might reveal it to Paul and reveal it to his servants. And he revealed it to one, even Paul of his day, and one, even John of his day. And so then there is only one. There's not going to be two. And if anybody can prove it to be otherwise, the floor is open here and wherever my voice is heard. There's never been, there never will be, there's no record of it. And when it comes to God using you, there's only one of you. And he's going to use you because it's one of you. And there ain't going to be two of you. And there ain't going to be nobody coming along, as we say, to take Moses' place. Or someone to take Joshua's place. Or to take Elijah's place. Or Brother Branham's place. Or anybody else's place. The Bible said Judas went to his place. A true prophet goes to his place. That's his place. There's no two places. That's his place. And when we get up and try to do the same way that another person does, we're pantomiming. And that's hypocrisy. And that's not the move of God, and God's not in it. But if we are children of a certain move, If we are children of a certain age, if we are children of a certain thing, whether it be the revelation, or whether it be as it was children of them that were under the law, or children of them on this side of the law that was under grace, then we are part of what God is doing, and we are the same. And if we bid at God's feet, we're partakers of the righteousness as to what God did in that day, that hour, that person, or that move of God, which is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then we need to see here that this is the way God works. And sometimes he has people that are outstanding. One person may be outstanding, like in fighting a battle. One person may be a hero. And they may give their life, or they may chance their life to save the life of others. And they may do things that others may never do. And yet others may hold their place and be great in what they're doing. But the others may step out front. May they carry some wounds, a purple heart, as we say, as an award. See, but there's one thing about it. These men also may bear some infirmities. They may go through some reproaches. And they may go through other things that you couldn't bear up under. There's some people so temperamental that if somebody said something about them, they'd just be ready to split their throat. And sometimes I have to simmer my wife down, because she hears things that's said about us, and she'll hit the telephone or get word. She'll ride right up in their face and tell them. Well, she wouldn't mind. Well, you better not try it, because she has a whole lot of them. And she really has to pray and fast and seek God to keep from saying things because of the reproaches. And she's a very diligent person. See, and if we don't watch out, we can't take it. When people go to degrading us and tearing us down, we don't like that. You know, we want to be magnified. We're God's Elijah. We're God's Moses. We're on television. You know, we're one of them outstanding people. So, well, it's okay. But we don't want none of that reproach. We don't want nobody saying bad things about us. And we don't want to have to hit it rough. You know, the Lord, you said you'd supply all of our needs and our wants, and we want to have a nice home, nice car, and we want to spend money. And we want to do just like we want to do, you know. And Lord, we'd like to incorporate you into our operation so that you could go with us and take care of all of our needs. But folks, it don't work like that. What it is that you die and it's him that lives, and he incorporates you in his operation, and you do what he says and you do what he thinks and you follow his program, and then he magnifies you that he may project himself through you. And your reward is that he will give you eternal life, and the eternal substance is the blessings of God throughout eternity, and that he'll make your enemies be at peace with you and supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. So then we see that Paul was a great, mighty man. So great and mighty he had to have those things as to the reproaches, those infirmities. And he said, I'm not going to tell God anymore to take them away. Thrice I besought him to move this devil that aggravated me. But I know now that it's for my purpose. It's to magnify me, the grinding wheel, as the stone against the axe. Against the axe. So we find out that we are, as one individual, man or woman, neither. There's no respect of person in God, male nor female. There was great and mighty women. There was great and mighty men. Those women, like Mary, in the thing that Mary did in keeping herself holy and clean and pure, she said, from henceforth, all people will call me blessed. I know a lot of people say, well, I don't say blessed Mary, 1, 2, 3, and count beads. The Catholics are not stupid, as the world says, because they say blessed Mary. The Bible said blessed Mary. And the Bible said all people will call me blessed Mary. And you know what Brother Pike says? Blessed Mary. Just like the book said it. See, blessed Mary. Very wonderful woman. Blessed Mary. One of the most blessed that ever lived. You don't like that. See, you're Catholic. Let me say it again. Blessed Mary. The mother of our Lord. The mother of our Lord. As the best God, I don't believe she's the mother of our Lord. Well, she's the mother of our Lord. So then, great and mighty, blessed Mary, the Bible said, and from henceforth, they'll all call me blessed. God hath done to me great things. And then the woman that washed Jesus' feet, dried his feet with the hair of her head. Sad to say, some of you don't have enough hair to do that today. But nevertheless, dried his feet with the hair of her head. This woman, though she was criticized, called evil names, yet the Bible says because she did this, that it would be a memorial unto her, and that wherever in the world the gospel is preached, that this will be a memorial unto her. Can you imagine that? Now you're talking about fame and popularity. Somebody said, if I could just get in the television business, well, everybody'd know about me, which I don't know why, because you know they're going to feed you to the worms. But anyway, nevertheless, this woman didn't do anything but humble her heart, wash the feet, and she received world fame. Folks, that's where we make our mistake. We're looking for something out of the lust of the flesh, when we should be looking for God and let God do what he wants to us. We want to be something great in the flesh, and that's Satan. But what we should do is want to be great in God as to humility and sacrifice, as Jesus, when he bowed down and washed the feet of the disciples and said, if I, your Lord and Master, do this as an example, what ought you to do? To follow in my steps. And he become the greatest of all. So then what we need to do is to take the humble way. Go the humble way. Seek humility. And he that humbleth himself, God will exalt him. But you that magnify yourself, you're going to come down. You're going to come down. I don't care how high you climb. As long as you publish yourself and build yourself and carry on yourself. You know, the Bible said, let another say it of you, not yourself. You seek the welfare of another. You esteem others better than yourself. And you magnify them. And God will take care of you. So then that's what we need to do, is to be like Paul, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt us in due season. And as the Bible said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. All right, so I'll glory in my reproaches. I'll glory in my infirmities. I'm not going to fly up. I'm not going to run out there. Not going to say things. I know the mouths must be stopped, and God has killed people to stop their mouths. But the thing is, as long as I can help win somebody to God, even them that have loose tongues, if I can win them to God, I'm going to love them and try to win them. And vengeance is his, not mine. He'll take care of that. He'll fight my battles. Let's everybody stand together. Appreciate your kind attention tonight. I want to say again, we're glad to have you here. Tried to hurry through just as fast as I can, not to hold you, because I know that you're tired. You have your Monday morning plans, and you have to get out and do things that you have to do. And certainly not wrong for you to go to your job to do whatever there is to be done when you have it laid out according to the will of God, and when you're following the steps of Christ. And when you're doing it to take care of your little family, putting Christ first, nothing wrong with what you do. But you that are not doing anything here with your hands physically, you that are not doing anything for God as to sacrifice and give, and you're just taking up space, you know, and all you do is just your routine of taking care of your little family, and if you have some pennies left over, you drop them in. Your little routine, as for you, you don't have anything from God. You don't have anything. I say again, it's the little widow gave. She gave all that she had, and the rich man gave, but God didn't notice their giving. Said she gave more than all. It's when you make a sacrifice as to a bodily sacrifice, a living sacrifice. When you put off yours for God and seeking him first, then God will take care of yours. Somebody said, well, I pay my bills, I've got my car, I've got my home. Nobody can take it away from me. Somebody else said, well, I gave to God, I lost my car. You didn't give because you didn't lose it because you give to God. But sometimes people will go all the way and give, and even give the car or lose the car or whatever, just to give more to God. You know, and you say, foolish people. No, you're the foolish one. They've laid up their treasure in heaven, where, as I said, and given away a car a number of times, that I'll have that car forever. I would have worn it out here. But I have it as a treasure in heaven, to lay up treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal. And moth doesn't corrupt, in that the Bible said, wherever our treasure is, our heart will be also. Even our conversation, the Bible said, should be in heaven. So, in this, they are sharing with God. And the thing is, they'll get another car. God will abundantly bless them with more vehicles. The Bible said, no man has left houses or home or wife, children, whatever, that but what he will receive 100-fold in this life, in this present world, and then everlasting life in the world to come. So he's going to be blessed bountifully here with a full restoration and health to be able to enjoy. Solomon said, I've seen an evil under the sun, whereas God hath given to a man much, given him plenty, and yet he's not able to eat thereof, because he withheld from the poor and the needy. And though he got all those things, he can't enjoy him. He's a miserable wreck. So I exhort you to do something for God with your time, with your understanding, with your talents. Whatever you have, your skill, do something for God. Put him first, and then let all these other things be added unto you, and then you won't lose them. So I said, well, I pay for mine, I won't lose them. God can take you away from them right in the midst of them. The Bible said you'll be cut off, you'll be a fool in the end. And who will get your riches? The Bible said they'll be left to a fool. So you heap together treasures, the Bible said, as to be a witness against you in the last day, when men will cry and throw their riches to the bats and cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on them, to hide them from the face of him that's angry with them because they took from God and robbed God and took away from the hungry, the poor. So let's give to God, not just of money. You have times, you have talents. Your mind should be given to God all day long to meditate in his laws all day long until you subject every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ to become a living sacrifice for him. And when you have a little problem, don't go moping around in melancholy and all them kind of things. You have a little problem, don't blame God. To begin with, it's your fault. See, even Paul's infirmities, it was his fault. He had had Christians killed. He'd done all kinds of things. There was nothing come on him undeserved. He had thrown them in prison. He reaped it. Not only that, he reaped everything he sowed. You'll reap it. I'll reap it. He reaped everything he sowed. Not only that, but did you know he said, I compel them to blaspheme. I compel them to blaspheme. Paul actually made people blaspheme the name of Jesus. Think about that. Blaspheme the name of Jesus. He forced them to do it. And he himself was a blasphemer. It doesn't say blaspheme of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said all manner of blasphemy shall be forgiven you. So you can get forgiveness. And Paul said, because I did it in my ignorance, I was forgiven. I blaspheme and compelled them to blaspheme. And all manner of blasphemies will be forgiven you except blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. So then it's wonderful to understand and to know that God did not do anything to Paul but what he deserved so far as reaping what he had sowed. He even stood by while they stoned Stephen to death and held the clothing. He said so in the scripture. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Down at the cross where I first saw the light, the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Can you say amen? At the cross where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. So there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing it? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sweep over my soul, sweep over Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, Lord, I need thee every hour. I need thee, and I need thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need thee. Can you sing that with me? So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away. Oh, he has come back to your heart once again. Oh, let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to please your cause on that eternal day. Let's listen to Jesus. Let's hear his sweet voice. And don't turn him away. Bringing in the sheaves, we're bringing in the sheaves, and we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. We're bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, and we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Can you sing it with me? Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. Sister Betty, come up and help me sing. Bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in. Sing it again with me. Bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, and we shall come rejoicing, bringing. Can you sing that with me? Let's worship the Lord. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing. Bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, and we shall come rejoicing. One more time together, let's sing. We're bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. We're bringing. That's what you're doing all around the world. You're helping us. We're working together, bringing in the sheep. Letters from around the world speaking of your faith in Christ and your liberality. And we shall come rejoicingly. And one more time together. We're bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep. We shall come rejoicingly.
Morning, noon, night, I'm all dressed in fine. mind, I'm ready for the bride.
Sing it again
now. Oh, we're ready for the bride to come. Oh, we're ready for the bride to come. So, morning, noon, and night, I'm all resting by this wife, and I'm ready for dancing more time. If you're ready, sing it. Yes, we're ready for King Jesus to come. Oh, we're ready for King Jesus to come. So, morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in fireless light, and I'm ready for King Jesus to come. One more time. Oh, we're ready for the bride. Oh, I'm ready for the bridegroom. So be it morning, noon, or night, I'm all dressed in fatherless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom. Let's give him another hand. Come home, come home. Supper time, the shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. When I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows come. Then winding down an old familiar pathway, I could hear my mother call it set of sun. Come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find and you'll know him by the nail prints. Can you sing it more time with me? So standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand.
And I think about that song, and I think about the song, wasted years, oh how foolish. About the many, many songs that have been written down through the years. Being a songwriter, you can't help but think, you know, about the story that's told in song. So many beautiful songs, so many beautiful stories expressed by the melody of song. David of old playing on his harp, he won the heart of God Because he had a melody in his heart. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. He had a melodious heart. In his heart, he was always making melody to God. And the Bible said we should make melody to God in our heart. Have a pleasant heart, a cheerful heart, a melodious heart. You know, to sing songs unto God. He'd sit on the hillside watching the sheep, nobody around, maybe for many, many miles. But he'd wander way off out of the mountains, the Judean mountains, and sitting there, he'd sing songs, you know, say beautiful things to God. And his heart was so lovely inside of his heart. It was so lovely. I know David got into problems. I realize that. But you know, down in his heart, he had such a lovely heart. The spirit is weak, is willing, but the flesh is weak. And David said, though my ways don't please thee, O God, my heart is perfect before thee, making melody in his heart to God. Wasted years, wasted years, oh how foolish, as you stumble along in sin and shame. Turn around, turn around, oh God is calling, he's calling you from a life of wasted years. Sing it again. Wasted years, wasted years, oh how foolish, as you stumble along in sin and shame. Turn around, turn around, oh God is calling, he's calling you from a life of wasted years. One more time. Wasted years, wasted years, oh how foolish, as you stumble along in sin and shame. So turn around, turn around, oh God is calling, he's calling you from a life of they'll come from the east and the west. Sing that with me. They'll come from the land that's afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How these pilgrims are beholding his proud faith, and glow with light divine. Here blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown. Sing it again. So they came from the east and the west. They came from the land that's afar. To feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, their blessed, oh,
in the light, the beautiful light. Walk where the dew drops of mercy are bright. Shine around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are. Sweet Jesus, what a wonder you are, brighter than the morning star. You are fairer, fairer than the lily that blooms by the way. Precious, oh precious, Vandal.
Give me a key, Brother Taylor.
Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bride. And he is the fairest of two guys. Everybody on tape. Everybody on tape. Everybody on a tail. The lily of your valley, and the bright morning star, and he is the fairest of two kinds.
Can you sing one more time?
Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know.
Examine our hearts, see if we're in the faith tonight. Always search your hearts, see if you're in the faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We need to always search our hearts to make sure that what we believe is God's word, because that's the only thing that can save us. To hear the word, to believe the word, to honor the word is to be saved. That is to please God. And he that abideth in my word, that is, continue to do the things I tell him. And let my word abide in him, that is, acknowledge it in all of your ways, as to say, to think, to do the right thing. Jesus said, he can ask what he will. I'll give it to him. Folks, That's the truth, so help me God. He will. He'll give it to you. Don't be afraid to ask. Don't say, I've asked and I didn't receive. The Bible said you've asked and you didn't receive because you didn't have the right motive, the right plan. You know, you ask amiss to consume that on your own lust, that is your lustful design. That's why you didn't get it. I tell you, don't be weary in well-doing. Ask Him. Everyone that asketh, receive it. Ask Him. Just do those things I said. Abide in the Word. Let the Word abide in you. And you just see in your heart, glory to God, I know that what Brother Pike has said, that's the Word of God and it's true. And I'm going to have my heart's design. Go on telling Him. Go on believing. Go on every day expecting it. And brothers and sisters, I promise you from the bottom of my heart, you'll get it. I mean, you'll get it. It's there. There's no alterations. There's no changes. It doesn't matter what the devil has said or anybody else has said. You just stay right there. And I guarantee that you'll get it. Praise God. And let me tell you, I just picked up something from the man over here that wants his wife. The desire of your heart, your family, picked it up. You'll get it. Put your faith to the test. Believe Him. I'll guarantee you it'll work. I'll guarantee you it'll work. Whatever you want, you'll get it. Like I told a young man a few days ago, I said, you'll get your wife back. She'll come back. Oh, he couldn't believe that. He's going to commit suicide. I said, don't do that. She'll be back. She's back. The home's back together. Everything's going good. Let's give the Lord a hand. Whatever you ask in my name, Jesus, that I'll do it. You're children of faith and children of resurrection. So that means that God is going to do something for you. He wants to do something for you. God gave His Son to do something for you. Isn't it wonderful to know that God made you? God made your appetite. God made your desires. God made the world and everything in there just for you. And wanted you to live eternally. Let's get the devil out of the way. Let's get our inheritance, our health, and our happiness. Let's believe the way God wants us to believe and go on in God and have these wonderful things God's got for us. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. I feel the victory. I feel like camp meeting now, don't you? Let's give them another hand. Say praise the Lord. Glory to God. I tell you, if you have this kind of spirit under the tent, there's some people that's going to get shook up. You believe that? Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Taylor said, we're living on the hallelujah side. Glory to be to Jesus. Let the hallelujahs roll. Let us sing and spread His praises far and wide. I'll open up toward heaven all the windows of my soul. I'm living on the hallelujah side. Can we sing that chorus? Glory be to Jesus. Let the hallelujahs roll. Let us praise His far and wide. For we've opened up toward heaven all the windows of our soul. And we're living on the hallelujah side. Sing it. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Let the hallelujahs roll. Let us sing the Savior's praises far and wide. For we've opened up toward heaven all the windows of our soul. And we're living on the hallelujah one more time. So glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Let us sing the Savior's praises far and wide. For we've opened up toward heaven all the windows of our soul. And we're living on the hallelujah side. One more time. For glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. Let us sing the Savior's praises far and wide. For we've opened up toward heaven all the windows of our soul. And we're living on the hallelujah side. One more time. So glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll, sing the Savior's praises far and wide. For we've opened up toward heaven all the windows of our soul, and we're living. Can you give Him a wave offering? One more time or so. So glory be to Jesus, let the hallelujahs roll. And we'll sing the Savior's praises
far and wide. For we've opened up toward heaven all the windows of our soul, and we're living on the hallelujah side. Let's give him a hand, can we? Hallelujah. Say, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands again, close our eyes together. Let me say again, it's my pleasure to have you here with us tonight. Always, always glad to praise the Lord with you, to tell you what little we can to encourage you, and to fix it to where your heart will be strong for the coming week when you meet the oppositions and the temptations of life. Brethren, be filled with the Spirit. The Bible said, be filled with the Spirit. Let's worship God. Turn your hearts over to God and your spirits are loose into his hand. Trust him. Believe what I tell you. Just forget about your own thoughts altogether, your own reasoning. Just forget about it. Get everybody, everything off of your mind. Troubles, problems, forgetting the things of the past, your stumblings, your staggerings, whatever it might be, say, God, your mercy is new every day. I'm a brand new creature beginning right now. And I'm going to let the hallelujahs roll out of my soul. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm going to let the hallelujahs roll. Glory to God. And I'm just going to trust you. I ain't going to try to think. I ain't going to try to reason. I'm just a Christian. I'm yours. I'm your responsibility. I'm all yours and you're all mine. And glory, hallelujah. I'm going to have the desires of my heart. And I'm going to live perfect before my Maker by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. While you get your hands up, I'm going to ask our little brother Rodney to come up here and dismiss us, if he will. And while Rodney's coming to pray, let's lift our hands high to heaven, open up our hearts, the windows of our soul, and the Bibles of God will pour you out a blessing that you won't be able to receive by opening up the windows of heaven on you. He did that to me a few days ago. He does that all the time for me. While Rodney's standing here with you praying tonight, consider the Lord. Consider the Lord. Consider the people throughout the world, to go into all the world and help them. And folks, consider us through the camp meeting. Consider us. For God's sake, consider us. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Do his will and his work and have eternal life and rejoice forevermore, the Bible says.